Hey, welcome to another episode of the Brighter Web Podcast. I'm your host, Mickey, and today I'm here with Bobby Kircher of Papaya Search. I've known Bobby for a long time, does a lot of great work with SEO and SEM and all kinds of Google-related things, really all about search marketing. So, Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mickey. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you again.
So
tell me, let's just start with search marketing. Why do you even want to talk about search marketing today? Why does that matter?
It matters because people still use search. People still use Google to search for things, and sometimes Bing.
Occasionally,
and DuckDuckGo, and so people still use search to find information and to find products and to find services, and it's still important today, even as much as the landscape is diverse as far as online marketing and what people are used to find things. People still use search, so it's still important.
Yeah, I would say so. So that's important for users. I still use search a lot, and we can talk more about that in a little bit. I have a few questions there, but why does this matter for small business then? How does the fact that people still use search matter to a small business?
Yeah, so people are still looking for information about products, whether they're looking for reviews, or maybe they're looking for information on how to find a service. So say you're starting a business, for example, and you want to figure out how to do that. You're probably still going to use search in order to do that. And so why not put yourself in front of those people who are searching for information and let them know that you can help them with that problem. You can help them with that issue.
Gotcha. So with Papaya, how does Papaya help people show up in search? And what are some of the things y'all do to help businesses show up in search the right way? There's so many different ways you can do it. So what do you guys focus on?
Yeah, so we focus on content a lot. So, that it means developing authoritative information for the industry that our clients are in. We also do a lot of, branded search, which means if someone is searching for your business in particular, making sure that the search results look good for the business, because people will do their due diligence. So let's say, Mickey, you're telling me I need to go work with this person or this business or this agency or try this product. I'm probably going to do some Google searches to figure out, how good is this product? What does other people say about this product? Are there other people like me who use it and had a good experience with it? So making sure that branded search comes up, and also thinking about competitative searches. So some people will compare products. I do this a lot where I'm looking at two different pieces of software that are very similar, and do some versus content. So we'll help clients develop that kind of content as well. So we do a lot of focus on content generation and optimization. It's part of the process. Yeah.
Very cool. So let's back up a little bit. So how did you get to this point? When did you start Papaya? What got you off the ground, and what does your team and company look like today?
Yeah. So I started Papaya in 2004, which means 20 years this year. Yeah. So this summer it'll be 20 years. And I got my start there was an opportunity for me to work with an e-commerce website that got hit in late 2003 with a Google update called the Florida update. And I remember I kind of helped my friend go to a conference, and we were trying to figure out a way to fix this problem. And we had an opportunity to work together. I started Papaya as an agency, and his company became my first client, and that was MetroKitchen.com. And we worked hard to figure out how do we fix this, them getting hit by Google. So that was our first project. And that led to me getting very involved in e-commerce. And I worked with that business for many, many years as my elephant client. And then my other revenue stream was creating affiliate websites with looking for keyword rich domains. And eventually that business, I stopped working with that business probably, I want to say maybe in 2016, 2017. So I started to pivot more into agency work, started speaking at WordCamp, which is how we met. And and started talking about SEO and especially how it pertained to WordPress. And that's how we started to get a lot of clients. And now we're a team of six. And, you know, our focus is mostly on search for the most part. So, and our focus is like doing search in a way that is we pride on being clear with our clients as far as what we're doing and being transparent in the process and getting results for our clients. So it's not just about, you know, ranking, but it's like, okay, what happens when they come to the site? And, you know, are they converting? Are they filling out a lead form? Are they buying something? So having a good understanding of all that and how that plays into what we're doing is key for us.
Gotcha. For sure. Very cool. Yeah. In the previous answer, you'd mentioned a few terms. I want to make sure we kind of lay out for people that maybe aren't familiar with it. You mentioned branded search, competitive search, and versus content. Can you kind of explain those three things?
Yeah. So with branded search, it is really people doing their research on your brand. And a lot of times people will like do Google searches to find out like on your brand and look for reviews, right? And those reviews will inform whether you're, you know, a good business or not. So having an understanding of that and making sure that your search results look good is important, so that people know that you exist, that you have people are having a positive experience with you, and that you're a legitimate company, right? Like in the industry. Yep. I mean, we see that a lot with SEOs. I mean, they're like with SEOs in general, like anybody could be an SEO, and anyone can come claim that they know what they're doing. But, you know, having a good profile of your business and of your experience with working with others, I think is important. So that's where branded search comes into play.
Gotcha. And then competitive search, how's that different?
Yeah. So like for competitive search, like, and it kind of plays with the versus thing is like, you see this a lot for SaaS companies or software as a service companies, where they're selling a similar product and you're doing some comparisons. And so what you might do is you might create some content where you're showing your feature set compared to your competitors. And it depends on the industry, because some industries they can get very angry that you do this. But in SaaS companies, it seems to be very common. But basically, people are already doing these kinds of searches, comparing your product to others. So why not create content on your own site, take advantage of your own brand, and start to rank for the content where you're doing this, where people are searching for the versus, and do a feature-by-feature comparison.
Yeah, owning that kind of conversation is huge. So yeah, if someone's searching for, is product A better or product B better? And if you're product A and they can come to your site to read the comparison, you get to control the narrative, and it's
absolutely
that's the way to go. Reminds me of a few years ago, Nissan still didn't offer CarPlay or Android Auto in their cars. They were one of the last ones to adopt it. When I searched for why they didn't, their site came up first. And so they were able to explain, it was kind of bogus, but at least they controlled the narrative of why they didn't. They said, we're still testing technology, we want the best user experience. But so it wasn't other companies saying how bad they were, although there was some of that. But the first result was them explaining why they didn't. So they owned even the bad news there, you know?
Right. Yeah. And then why not take advantage of that traffic and like ask them to get on an email list? You want to find out when we actually have CarPlay like available, like, you know? It's an opportunity for you to connect and engage with that potential customer, right? Because they are definitely a potential customer because they're that far down the path, right? Of purchase. So, yeah.
So one thing we've been talking about a lot internally is with AI and stuff, will websites even exist in 10 or 15 years? And I think the answer we've come to is largely yes, but it goes back to your branded search thing. I think a lot of the competitive stuff will end up more in AI and in other places, but at the end of the day, people say, no, you need to go talk to Bobby at Papaya. They'll come to your website to see what you have to say firsthand. So I think the branded stuff will become even more important as some of the other pieces may get a lot trickier with AI and stuff filtering in there.
Sure. You still need a homestead, right? Like you still need a place for people to come to and to describe your services and even have a place for your customers to come and reach out to you. So and ask questions, and maybe that becomes the focus is like about how What are the things that you can provide to your customers and information you can provide to your customers? I feel like that's still going to be important, and having a place on the web is still going to be important.
For sure. Yeah, the tricky one for me figuring out too is AI search versus things like Google search. And you and I have talked, I've been playing with Perplexity a lot lately and made that my default search in Chrome. But I still notice a lot of times where it's not what I was looking for. It gets a little too fancy trying to explain things with AI when I'm like, no, I was just trying to find Bobby's website. I couldn't remember how to type his URL. So I type Bobby Kirshner Papaya, and it gives me this whole thing about Bobby. You're like, I just want a link to his site. So
you're right. Interesting
to see how they shake out, where the AI stuff needs to do a little bit better with that, but Google's trying to do more with AI, and they're going to be probably become more similar. It's going to be super interesting to see where those results are. And as they send less traffic to websites and just give the answers on the site, too, that's going to be troublesome in a lot of ways. I think it could be okay in some ways. If they give the answer and you go ahead and make the purchase, it's just going to be harder to attribute things. I'm sure you've heard Rand Fishkin of Spark Toro, formerly of Moz. He talks a lot about how difficult attribution is becoming lately because people might find you so many different ways, so many different times. A story I've told is like our CPA firm that we use. I saw him speak at WordCamp years ago, and from that I started following his blog, and then so I had a podcast and all these different things, and decided, all right, I think we may want to hire him. So I Googled for him to find his site to reach out, and if they looked at analytics, they say, oh, it was SEO. He Googled us. That's why we got a client.
Right.
Which is not the case, but it's so tricky to define that stuff. What do you do to help better understand true attribution, where your services are valuable versus where other things might be important?
Yeah, it's not as easy as it used to be, like you said. But we try to pull data from like Search Console and other sources. We use SEMrush quite a bit. And try to see traffic trends. So we're like not trying to be so specific about very specific types of keywords, or maybe we do more keyword buckets, and seeing what kind of impact that has on things. But it's hard. I mean, it's still difficult to do that kind of attribution for the reasons you say, because everything has become so dispersed. And as we become better marketers, we are doing multiple ways of reaching out to people, like people are creating videos, right? Video content, and they're contacting you through, like, say you're creating reels on Instagram, and you're being reached out to on Instagram directly. Like, there's no way to track that, really. Mm-hmm. At least using some of the tools that we use to know that, oh, this person did their homework and did searches, but it's hard. Yeah. It's not as easy as it used to be, but we try to pull as much data as we can to tie those conversions to search.
Yep. So related to that, this is a theory I have, and I'd love for you to tell me your thoughts and shoot me down if you think I'm wrong.
Okay.
But so Google released Google Analytics 4 last year, or was it 2 years ago, and they're shutting down the old Universal Analytics. And for most customers, at least of the size of companies we tend to work with, it's a disaster. UA was so much easier to use. GA4 is a huge mess, certainly very powerful for bigger companies and stuff. But it feels to me like Google could have very easily said, here's GA4, here's Google Analytics 4 for bigger companies, but here's the other one for smaller ones. And they're choosing not to do that. And it feels like it's because of shareholder demands and just trying to raise more money. And they're thinking, we have millions and millions of sites that we're giving this free analytics to. If they just go away, we only have the bigger companies we work with, that might be better. So do you feel like this is an intentional, like, trying to run off smaller businesses from using analytics? Or what are your thoughts on why GA4 is so complex for most companies?
I mean, so I feel like because it was originally Firebase, right? Like it was originally designed to track apps. And I feel like the code base for it is probably more modern than to have to shore up Universal Analytics. Because if you remember, Universal Analytics was originally Urchin, and
Urchin way back in the day,
right? And they've iterated on it, but I don't think they really iterated that much. And I don't know if this is also related to the GDPR and EU regulations, and they probably could shore up Firebase, aka GA4, much more easily than with Universal Analytics. So they just had to let it go. And we know Google is not afraid to say goodbye to things they've acquired
in
the past.
Yes.
And it's amazing that Urchin lived as long as it did. So I don't know. But it is frustrating because like the dashboards just aren't as good. You have to really customize the dashboards.
I'd say they're not as easy. They're still pretty good, but I mean, it takes a lot of work just to get some basic stuff. You know,
it does, right? And out of the box, like if you're a marketer or a business owner, you could with Universal Analytics, you can get easier access to that information. Whereas with GA4, you actually have to build the dashboards that you want, which some business owners don't have time for, which is great for us because it keeps us busy.
Right, exactly. But, oh, yeah. You know. We're doing a lot of that work as well. So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Right. It's not as easy for the business owner to get in there and find that information because that's what we were running into now. Although we use Databox quite a bit now these days.
Yeah, we do as well. Yeah.
Because it ties in all these, like we were talking about before, there's a lot of different sources for traffic and a lot of companies are using things beyond search. And so being able to pull all that data into one place really helps. And you can't do that in GA4, right?
Yeah. So someone's listening and saying, okay, my business needs to do more in search marketing. I got to get going. Like, what's one piece of actionable advice they could take from this? Okay, here's one thing I can go do today to start improving my situation. Short of hiring you, which, of course, should be their
right,
next move.
Of course.
But their first move today, something they can go do this afternoon to help make their search presence a little bit stronger.
Yeah, so getting access to Search Console, if you have not registered your website on Search Console, that is, like, that's the first thing you should do. And that way you have an understanding of how Google understands your website, from a search perspective. Now, this doesn't include Google Ads. This is just primarily organic search.
Yeah.
So getting your domain registered at Google Search Console is like number one. And then setting up analytics, right? So, and you can set up analytics to tie to your Google Search Console. So if you don't have analytics, make sure it's tied to Search Console. But if you have analytics but didn't get Search Console, you can tie those things together pretty easily. So I would highly recommend doing that. And also getting a handle on your Google Business Profile, even if you're a service area business, even if you're a, like, don't have a physical presence, you can set up a local, you can set up a service area business within Google Google Business Profile. That way, when
changing
people
the name of that, so yeah, it's hard to
I know
up.
They keep it right. Also, not afraid to change the name.
Yeah.
Google is getting a business profile also just gives you an idea of what people are searching for because you do get some analytics data from that. That's a separate from what you see with Google. So
yeah,
I mean,
the Search Console is a good call. Yeah, I like that because I think a lot of businesses, most businesses, I would say, have analytics set up and do not have Search Console. It's kind of what I've seen.
Right.
Search Console is a free thing from Google, and it gives you a ton of great information that analytics can't give you because it gives you info from Google's perspective versus analytics is giving you data from your website's perspective. So having both to see how people
yes.
are behaving on Google and then seeing how they behave on your site and tying those together is, yeah, very
yeah,
powerful.
And it's free, right? And they're both
exactly,
free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it. And here's another tip. If you're interested in maybe looking at some of the technical issues that could be affecting your site, you know, there's plenty of site audits out there that will be more than happy to charge you for it or another agency that's happy to charge you for it. But Bing Webmaster Tools will give you a site audit. And it also gives
okay.
you some keyword data, too, even though, mind you, the data it's a smaller data set than you would get with Google, but at least you can get you can run a technical audit within Bing Webmaster Tools and it's free.
Okay.
So,
oh, cool. I didn't realize that. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool, Bobby. This has been fantastic. If people want to pick more of your brain and understand your thoughts or look to hire you or whatever it is, where can they find you online? What's the best places?
Sure. You can, you can use Google and search for Bobby Kircher and, you'll see a lot of my stuff on the Google search results or come to papayasearch.com. And you can learn more about our company and what we do and how we can help you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll put those links in the show notes, too, so people can find that, along with things like Google Search Console and Bing Webmaster Tools and some of those things that people aren't maybe not familiar with. The links will be in the show notes for that as well. So, Bobby,
thanks.
Great talking, as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Mickey.
Your time.